Jaylen, look at your namesake take off.
Jaylen Brown, you nasty boy. You nasty. That's how you attack the bucket. Let's start the show.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people. What they want.
We have Cincinnati Bengals super fan comedian Gary Owen joining us later in the show to get you ready for the Super Bowl. But we start with the NBA action from last night. It was the Joker, the stretch mark five, Nikola Jokic putting up numbers against the Nets. Jalen, the Nets have lost 8 straight.
Going into this season, there were a lot of people that felt like without Kyrie Irving, that the Nets would not only win the East, but win the championship. And on paper, let me tell you where I told them that didn't hold water. On the interior, KD's a really good defender. He's not a physical guy for, you know, that position in theory, but he's gonna contest shots and block shots and play tall, right? But he's not bulky. LaMarcus Aldridge has done a terrific job of making mid-range shots and giving them quality minutes. And Claxton, when he's healthy, you know, he's gonna rim run, block shots, but he's virtually thin. And Blake Griffin seems to be a declining player. Those are their bigs. Those are their bigs going into this year. And I'm like, they ain't gonna get it done. And so when I see the Joker come to town playing against a team that's already struggling without KD, it's only a matter of time before he's able to impose his will on the game. And that's exactly what he did. Like, Kyrie did a terrific job of scoring and dropping off a couple of dimes or whatever.
Yeah, Kyrie looked good.
But this Nets situation continues to plummet, Jacoby. And what I now see from a franchise is what I said all year, is that the Big Three has only played together twice this season. That's not a formula for winning the East or winning the championship, even when the great Kevin Durant returns. James Harden, I've also said, seemed disinterested about the fact that he seemed to be joining the Big Three, where one of the guys, and it's his choice, is a part-time player. And so now, I sacrificed my situation in Houston, I sacrificed being the face of the franchise, to now be a part of this situation that ain't getting me closer in theory on paper to a championship. So he's not committed long term. And let me give you another nugget. Kyrie can also opt out after this year. I don't believe he will. I don't think he's gonna go anywhere. But what I'm saying is what I've always said. Daryl Morey in Philly, who had James Harden when he's the president in Houston, is gonna hold on to Ben Simmons as long as Kyrie's a part-time player and as long as Harden can opt out at the end of this year. And as long as this team keeps losing as the trade deadline approaches, don't look for Ben Simmons to get moved. Don't look for James Harden to get moves. Those are the kind of moves that usually happen in the offseason. Stay tuned.
Jalen, I was one of those people that felt like even without Kyrie Irving, the Nets were my favorite to come out of the East. And I was one of those people that said, this is a team built to win in the playoffs. They've got the most talent in the conference. You can't game plan against talent in a 7-game series. I believed all of those words. I'm out. I am out. After watching this stretch, I am absolutely out. This Nets team will maybe get to the second round, but not beyond that. And one of the reasons is this weird chemistry between these three, which is exemplified by some of the words that Kyrie Irving had to say after the loss to the Nuggets.
How all those kind of media plants start going around with rumors and stuff like that, I really do not concern myself with that. So, you know, the few conversations that we've had, he's been really committed. And, you know, we just hold him to his word. But obviously when we're going out to play games, we can't even really think about it. So, you know, we would love to have him in the lineup, but we want him at his optimal healthy. And then, you know, we let the rest take care of it. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
The few conversations that we had, y'all just had a few conversations about this. He seemed really committed. What are we talking about?
Hey, dog, let me tell you something. James Harden, in my opinion, looks at this situation like, you know what? I'm about to get my hamstring healthy. Oh, wait, I woke up this morning and my hand's still sore. you know what? I'm about to just get healthy as I can. Wait till KD come back. Hopefully he's healthy as he can. And if Kyrie's still a part-time player, see what we can make happen come playoff time. And if and when they get bounced in the Eastern Conference playoffs, to me, that signals the end of James Harden's future with that franchise.
Absolutely agree. And Mr. Rose, let's talk about some other teams that are sitting around the top of the East. And I'm talking about the Chicago Bulls and the 76ers. Joel Embiid did it again. 40 points, 10 rebounds, out-dueling DeMar DeRozan, who put up 45 himself. Right now, as it stands, I have Joel Embiid as my MVP favorite.
I'm not mad at that. I think I'll give a Ja Morant the edge over him. But I think those are the two. You can't dismiss Giannis because I bet if you put Giannis' numbers up on the screen next to Embiid's, I bet they look similar.
Joker's too.
And the Joker as well. So you can't dismiss those guys. Steph Curry struggled in January, but he's been terrific this year. But those off the top of my dome, along with DeRozan, deserve consideration, who also was terrific. You don't normally get a game where both guys like go over 40 and do it in different ways. Like, it made the game look different to me. Like, I like the way Embiid continues to play mid-range, play powerful, and play through the defense. You see him get it down low, elbow the guy, and just go up and just bang on him a couple times. Like, I love that. And then for DeRozan, same thing, working the game. 15 feet, 18 feet, trying to get to the line, trying to get to the bucket. You know, initiating offense, continuing to be aggressive, continue to play downhill, playing in the post, turnover over both shoulders. Like, these were two guys that, like, play a complete game. Like, sometimes when you watch the box score of a team and you see that both players have 40, a lot of times it's both because both guys are jacking up three-pointers in today's landscape. Yep. But in this theory, it was great to see both of those guys working the game, leading their teams. And it's great to see Philadelphia thrive under a healthy Embiid being dominant. But I'm just going to just say this. This is for the regular season, Philadelphia. This is for the regular season. The pressure's off. No Ben Simmons. Y'all already got y'all scapegoat. So if and when y'all lose in the first or the second round, y'all already know it's because, you know, y'all can put it on Ben Simmons. But it's not going to take away from the greatness of Joel Embiid and how dominant he's been this year. But even though they continue to rise in the Eastern Conference race, this is not a team I see winning the conference without Ben.
Well, another team rising in the Eastern Conference race just sort of got another weapon. And, of course, I'm talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, the surprise Cleveland Cavaliers. And they are going for it this season. They made a trade, sending Rubio and picks to the Pacers, and in return, they get that man, a walking bucket, Caris LeVert. What does LeVert add to this Cavs roster?
I think that show was Annie when she was like, they're all going to laugh at me. They're all going to laugh at me. Was that Annie? Anyway, I remember feeling like, hey, I'm watching League Pass, and I see the Cleveland Cavaliers, and shout out to J.B. Bickerstaff for doing a terrific job with that squad. And I was watching them, and I was watching Philly, and I was like, you know what? If I had to choose the future of the Cavs or the Sixers, I'll take the future of the Cavs. And everybody was going to laugh at me. I said it on this show. I said it on Count. Everybody's going to laugh at me. And now all of a sudden, Jared Allen, you see your guy Jared Allen with 20-20 vision the other night. You see Kevin Love playing quality minutes. Come on, Garland has been terrific this year, deserves to be an all-star. And so, like, now you add Caris LeVert to go with the young guy Mobley down low, block shot, chain shots, block shots, dunk on anybody. Like, his upside is sky's the limit. And you mentioned Caris LeVert, my fellow Michigan Wolverine, is a bucket. I knew Indiana was going to have to make moves because they have too much talent to be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference race. And so I'm actually happy for Caris that he gets a chance to be a part of a ascending situation with the Cavs.
Well, something tells me that we will see more moves from the Pacers. Sabonis might be on the move. Turner might be on the move. And something tells me that you will see more from J&J after this very short break. Who is joining us on the program, Mr. Rose, to talk Super Bowl?
Funny man, Gary Owen, who also loves his Cincinnati Bengals, is joining the program next. Stay tuned.
I feel like there's two me's. Me that's on the field and the me off the field.
I make too much money to have fake ones, so these are real.
I just think they're pretty cool. What do you think?
Are you always like this? Like, are you always that cool?
Joseph Lee Burrow.
He does not
that
care.
Boy Joey B.
He's a bad man.
This is what I've always wanted to do.
Football is Joe Burrow.
Touchdown! Oh, Bengals!
F it. Mar's down there somewhere.
Jamar Chase, forget about it!
The Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
I think if we didn't prove it today, I don't know how else you prove it.
Coming to you live from the Seaport, New York City, brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. When the Bengals are in the Super Bowl, you have to have this man on the program. Jalen, who's joining us?
Funny man, comedian, and Bengals number one fan, Gary Owen, is joining Jalen and Jacoby to brag about his Cincinnati squad in the Super Bowl.
Jalen, I know you're a Detroit Lions diehard. Let me tell you something. It's an amazing feeling to be with a team that is, we're pretty much Detroit Lions in the AFC for the longest. Yep.
Absolutely. And I see that kinship. And I saw it in Ohio when the Browns went winless. As a matter of fact, the time you guys went to the Super Bowl, you know where it was? Pontiac, Michigan against the 49ers in the early
80s. Super Bowl 16.
Yes, yep, indeed. It was
so cold.
Absolutely. Oh, cool. So what makes this Bengals team so special that they're now in the Super Bowl for the first time since the early 80s?
Well, you know, the only position in football that can really transform a franchise is the quarterback position. It's not running back. It's not D-line. Because people forget, when Burrow got drafted, there was a big discussion, Chase Young or Joe Burrow. Always got to roll the dice on the quarterback. Always. That's the one position that people follow, and he's got so much swag. You from Detroit, so I give Joe Burrow 6 months, he's going to be in a fur. He's going to be in a fur.
So since you brought that up, I got to ask one follow-up question to both of you guys. How do you guys feel, and I want to go my Dave Chappelle racial draft thing here. How do you guys feel when people like me feel like we're gonna now take Joe Burrow as ours and he never has to pay for barbecue again because he wears gold chains and buffs? What do you guys think when y'all see and hear that?
You can't have Joe Burrow. We're not giving up Joe Burrow without getting something back. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just acquire Joe Burrow. You have to trade for Joe Burrow. And the price is high. Yesterday's price is not today's price for Joe Burrow. That's all I have to say.
Gary,
but
what do you think about
that?
He will
be in a fur in 6 months. He will be in a fur in 6 months.
We want all LeBron's kids and Tom Brady's kids. We need that potential. If Tom Brady's white, we're going to trade white for white and black. That's how good Joe Burrow is.
Gary, you talked about the decision to draft Joe Burrow or Chase Young, but there was also another decision that was made in this year's draft. It was like, do we need Penei Sewell to protect Joe Burrow, or should we reunite him with Ja'Marr Chase? And something tells me that you're pretty happy with the decision that they made then.
Well, even I said it when the draft happened. I said the drop-off was too steep. You weren't going to find a Ja'Marr Chase in the second round. You can still find a decent offensive lineman in the second round. So that drop-off was too steep. I said, we had to take Ja'Marr. We had to. And honestly, before the draft, I thought we were a year away from where we're at now. I thought this season the success would be 500 and if we got in the playoffs. The fact that we're in the Super Bowl, I don't want to say we're house money. I'm greedy now. Now I want to win it. But my whole thing was get Ja'Marr and get the lineman next year. And, you know? So
correct.
I don't know what to do.
And it's only right that the Lions took the guy you didn't take.
That's right, they got okay. Penei.
They sure did. And to take this a step further now, the Lions used to have a quarterback named Matthew Stafford, who you're going against in the Super Bowl for the Rams. But your quarterback is the one that led the league in being sacked. So are you worried about the Rams' defense with Aaron Donald rushing up the middle and from all angles? And Von Miller and Jalen Ramsey, are you worried about this Rams defense for your guy Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase?
They're going to get their sacks, and I'm not worried about that. But nobody's talking about Trey Hendrickson, who was all over Mahomes last week. Our D-line is no joke. DJ Reader and Trey Henderson. Everyone's so focused on that, but nobody's talking about Stafford's generous. He got, it's like, they're going to get some sacks. He's going to throw a pick. That much we know. We know Aaron Donald's going to get a sack, but we know Matthew Stafford's going to throw a pick also. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's talking about that. So
good point.
I don't know. Well, I think we got a shot.
No one knows about late-game Matt Stafford picks like Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose has seen more late-game back-breaking Matt Stafford picks than anybody else. And I want to know, this is your team in the big game, right? What is your plan for Sunday? I'm going to lock myself in a room by myself and watch the Super Bowl in a chamber. I'm not a party guy. What is your plan for Sunday?
I'm row one, seat one. I got my tickets.
Ooh.
On the Rams sideline. They gonna see me. They gonna see me. They gonna hear me.
I like it. I like that a lot.
I can't wait. I had a splurge, man. It's a Super Bowl.
And it's only right. So I want to go a little deeper into your roster, right? We talked about Joe Burrow. We talked about Chase. But you guys got offensive weapons all over. So what about Mixon and Boyd and Higgins? If you had to handicap a Super Bowl MVP for your Cincinnati Bengals, if and when y'all win, and it can't be Joe Burrow, and it can't be Chase, who would it be?
Oh, it'd be Joe Mixon. Because he got, if, it just depends on how they, I don't know how the Rams are going to play this. They're going to put, stack the box, because then you're going to get thrown on, but I don't know. If it's not Chase or Burrow, it's got to be Mixon, because he's going to get the touches. He's going to get, you know, and he wears you out. You know, that Chiefs game, he was starting to break off some runs there in overtime in that fourth quarter, where in the first half he was getting like 1-2 yard gains, but they didn't abandon the run. Yeah. We just got a good coaching staff, man. We figured out the second half.
What did that feel like as a huge Bengals fan, so excited for this game against the Chiefs, and then to watch them fall behind the way that they did, be down 11 with the Chiefs knocking on the door in that moment? Where was your head and heart?
It's odd. In the past, I was always, you always think of the worst. And then it's just, I was like, dude, we're going to figure it out. You know, Burrow reminds me a lot of Mayweather, where Mayweather will take the first couple rounds and figure his opponent out, get their speed down, everything. It's like Burrow does that. First couple series, gets sacked, he'll throw it away. But then it's like, okay, now I know how fast they're coming. I know what coverage they're going to do. And he just figures it out. I got so much confidence in our team, no matter how much we're down. And I've never had that feeling before. And Jalen, it's amazing. I hope you get that feeling one day. It's so amazing.
I hope I get that feeling for a franchise that only won one playoff game in 60 seasons playing football.
I didn't realize that. My fault. I didn't realize that. I didn't know
you guys won more than that this year.
Yeah. It's, hey, can I get the right quarterback, man? Just think about it. Detroit Lions, they don't know where their quarterback is right now. 6 years ago, our quarterback was in Athens, Ohio, in the middle of nowhere, and we had no idea he was about to save our franchise. No clue.
Yep.
You don't know where that Detroit Lions savior's at right now. He could be in North Dakota. He could be in Seattle.
Good point.
There's a kid out there right now, Jalen.
We need it. We need it.
Gary, what do you have going on tonight at Paul Brown?
Well, we're doing a pep rally for the city. It got thrown together last minute, and they called me in to host it. But the team's going to be there. We're bringing in some old players from the older Super Bowls. It's just a time to celebrate an unexpected run to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to have about 30,000 fans there tonight. It's going to be cold. But we need this. I always say, L.A. don't need this. L.A. didn't want the Rams. They would have got the Rams. They would have caught on fire in St. Louis. They didn't want them. LA Rams, literally, they got divorced and got back with the ex-wife. That's what they did.
Well, we definitely appreciate the love. Best of luck to your Bengals in the Super Bowl. Looking forward to checking out your special Black Famous on Showtime. Always welcome here on Jalen and Jacoby. Thanks for joining us, Gary Owen.
Appreciate you guys, man. I love your show.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be back with more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
February 4th, 2007, Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith became the first African-American head coaches to coach in the Super Bowl, with Dungy's Colts taking on Lovey's Bears. In a game which also featured a legendary halftime performance by Prince, Peyton Manning led the Colts to a 29-17 victory, winning the Colts' first title in 36 years.
Doubleheader Wednesday night on ESPN, starting with the Eastern Conference. It is the Bulls taking on our guy, LaMelo Ball, and the Hornets at 7:30. And then in the Nightcap, moving to the Western Conference, it is Steph Curry and the Warriors taking on the Jazz at 10 p.m. And countdown starts at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, the Michigan men's basketball team lost over the weekend, but not the Michigan women's. Caitlin Clark had how many points, Jalen? How many points
did she have? Ballin'! Not only did she have 46 points, she also had 10 dimes. And she's on pace to be the first woman in the NCAA to lead the country in points and assists. Look at where she's pulling up from, dog. She shot that from Detroit. She shot that from Flint. She shot another one from Saginaw. Look, she shot this one from Lansing. Look at this. Look where she's shooting from, dog. Like, look what she's shooting from. They double, triple teaming her. Look at that, doing the Michael Jordan shoulder shrug. But shout out to the Michigan women, getting closer to that top five, getting closer to the number one spot. Stay tuned. That squad look like it's getting ready to cut down the nets for the Michigan Wolverines this year.
Jalen, I need to see the Michigan men's team in the tournament. I just need to see them in the tournament. They're making the tournament, right? We're going to be
We're getting the tournament, right? Big Ten tournament. We'll play a lot better. By the way, happy birthday to my brother, Juwan Howard. We'll definitely be in the tournament, my brother, no doubt. And we'll see you tomorrow, 4 p.m., Jalen and Jacoby. 10 years and running. Marshall Falk will be here as well. It don't stop.
Jalen, the Dolphins have hired 49ers offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel as the head coach. A couple things about McDaniel that I love. He's referenced Mike Jones earlier in the press conference and said that he would only take head coaching jobs in places where recreational marijuana is legal. Now, I haven't seen the latest about Florida, but something tells me he won't have any trouble getting any medicinal down there. What do you think about this hire for the Dolphins?
Stay tuned. The one thing that the Dolphins now have to, a few things, overcome is they fired a coach that went 8-1 his last nine games.
Yep.
So, like Jacoby always says, you want to keep expectations low. Like, the expectations for this job is already high based on that standard. That's why it's head scratching when you make the move. Now the dynamics of the team, you know, whether and Brian Flores, by the way, I want to make sure I acknowledge his courage for coming out and suing the NFL. As a black guy, we know that that likely means that he probably won't coach in the NFL again. And the reason why we feel so sure of that is because currently 99% or 98% of the coaches are non-black and 100% of the owners are non-black. I feel like if those numbers were different, then he may have another opportunity. But since those numbers don't work in his favor, I don't believe so. But here's what I think a silver lining is going to be. 3-2-1. If I'm a college program, I'm hiring Brian Flores.
Yep.
Because let me tell you something. There will be mothers and fathers of highly sought players that will want their son to go play for him in college. So I'm putting this out there right now. J&J, you know you get the exclusives. I'm telling you. Brian Flores, collegiate coaching prospect in the near future. Now, with that being said, for the Dolphins, they beat the Patriots twice last year. They were 8-1 their last nine games. So, What is success in this job going to look like?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Patriots, but they also have the Bills in the same division. That's one of the things that's so difficult for the Dolphins, like as a franchise, or even as a Dolphin fan. It's like you've been dealing with the Patriots for decades, and then you have to deal with the Bills, who look to be sort of the next team to sort of run that division for at least a handful of years. So if I'm Mike McNichol, I'm making it very clear what success is when I talk to the ownership group that brings me in, because it's going to be hard to be on top of that division anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen.
Mm-hmm. What up, though?
Very quickly, before the All-Star break, is Russell Westbrook going to be a Laker after the All-Star break, after the trade deadline?
Yes.
I think so, too. Every time around the trade deadline, you hear about these big rumors or whatever, but I think Russell Westbrook stays. They brought him there for a reason.
Well, they brought him there, and it's just not a perfect fit. And that's what happens when you tinkering with your roster to try to win right now. Like, when you trade away the young assets that they had, like Kyle Kuzma and the potential of Montrezl Harrell, who they didn't use, you're basically saying that those guys can't help me win it all right now, this year. And so that's why you go invest in Russ. That doesn't seem like the best decision based on the fact that he needs the ball, and LeBron clearly should have the ball. AD is dominant playing closer to the basket. He had 9 dunks the other day. I loved it so much. He had 9 dunks. I'm like, okay, AD. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, the Lakers healthy, you still can't dismiss them in a 7-game series. And even though Russ turnovers are high and field goal percentage is low, he still is going to have his moments where he could take over the game. One thing I want him to do, though, is be more of a driver. See, like, I know that his team, I played for so long, and I know what happens. You don't want your teammate to be Ben Simmons. You don't want your teammate to not be confident and not shoot the ball, right?
Mm.
So what you do in that case is you get the ball to that teammate on the move. So, like, when he's seeing the ball, like, there's an anticipation to basketball, like a chess, that a lot of people underestimate for you to get a shot. And for somebody like me who scored a lot of points in the league, the ball happens way before you even touch it sometimes in order for you to get a shot. And you see it coming to you. How many times you play Jacoby and you see the play developing and you like, swing, 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 this should end up to me.
Yeah, when you see your man leave you, your man goes to help somewhere, you're like, oh, right. this is great for me.
Yeah, you're like, at some point, you're like, wait a minute, I can't lie. Let me tell you the number one time that happened in my life. And I'm just being real, not new or whatever. I'm just being honest because I am disappointed we didn't win the national championship. When they were double teaming C-Webb and he called timeout, when he pivoted, when you look at that play, look closely. I'm at the elbow wide open. And I just knew he was about to pass me the ball. And so that anticipation is what Russ has to play with. And when you see the ball coming to you like that, you got cut.
Mm.
You got to move. You can't be a stationary target. And then you got to be the one to drive and kick again, drive and drop, and or drive and finish.
Well, as a mentally weak basketball player, I have to ask you as a question, as a confident basketball player, right? I don't think Laker fans are helping by screaming no when the ball swings to Russ in the corner and he's got an open three. Like if you're a Laker fan, what are you doing here? What are you doing?
Hey, fam, that's been happening since the beginning of time, and I'm gonna play it out for you. Here's actually how it sounds. How many times have coaches, you gonna like this one? You're gonna be like, damn, he right. How many times have you seen somebody take a shot and you like, no, and then they go in and you like, yes?
Sure, of course. And famously, in that same arena, there was at the time a gentleman by the name of Ron Artest. You remember him in the finals? When he had that same feeling that we're talking about. Yep. Kobe Bryant's got the ball.
Yep.
Waning seconds of a deciding finals game in that same building. Kobe Bryant passes it to Ron Artest, and the whole building is saying, no. And Ron Artest, now Metta World Peace, put the ball in to add another banner to the rafters.
He did, and I was there. I believe you was there too. And the thing about that, Kobe played terrible as it related to shooting that game. I think he was like 4 for 20 or something. And the no thing ain't reserved for Russ, and it ain't reserved for Metal World Peace. It's reserved when you play in front of smart fans. And they spending thousands and thousands of dollars on the game. And they see you about to get the ball too. And they like, no, don't shoot it. Do something else, because they want to win too. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't personal.
I ask you something quick before we go. Julius Randle unfollowed the Knicks. What's he doing?
He did what?
He unfollowed the Knicks.
So let me tell you what I... So now... Okay. I wasn't going to do this, but now I'm going to do it. I'm going to now say something on wax that I told you off wax. And I know it's going to be people that's going to ignore the whole hour of what we just did and probably try to use this and try to paraphrase what I'm saying, but it's cool. But I'm going to just tell y'all something that I told Jacoby off wax. When Julius Randle did the thumbs down to the fans, and after he had a breakout season last year and was most improved player, averaging 24 points, shooting 40% from three, and the Knicks were the fourth seed in the conference, I told my brother David Jacoby, this is the perfect time to try to trade him. I said, this is the perfect time to try to trade him. And there were people that would probably think at that time, if I said it out loud, like, why would you do that? Well, here's why. You already maxed them out in New York. So this is how I look at an asset. I like Julius Randle as an NBA player, and I told everybody he was going to be an all-star when he came to the East. That was me. I said it. He wasn't even really balling like that. And I said, when he go to the East, he gonna be an all-star.
Yeah, in New Orleans, now, he was not what he was in New York and New Orleans.
Correct. And so now, because as you say, why I say that? Because the four position, you can say this, the four position in the East is a bastard position. It has no rhyme or reason in that conference. So you look at each team, you could define how they play by who plays that spot in a lot of ways. And so for Julius Randle, I knew he wasn't gonna be able to play open like that this year, because the floor is just gonna be suppressed. They're gonna be on you. That's just how this works. And so now when you throw the thumbs down to the fans, that legitimizes us moving you. Mm-hmm. And so he unfollows them because he knows what I know. That there's a potential that Julius Randle could be getting moved.
Well, as I said about Drake unfollowing ASAP Rocky and Rihanna, you have to work to that. You have to search the account. You have to find it and then unfollow it. Like, that's petty. It sends a message. And I have a lot of New York Knicks fan friends. And you, 1 year ago today, Julius Randle felt a lot different in the Knicks uniform than he does this year. You see what I'm saying? Like, after the playoff performances, remember, he didn't really kill it in the playoffs against the Hawks. He hasn't really been killing it like he was last year this year. So remember where you heard it first, Jalen and Jacoby. Get your broken news later on the ticker, but you get it here first on Jalen and Jacoby. Julius Randle potentially no longer being on the Knicks after the trade deadline. We'll be back tomorrow with another dope pot of Step 2. Thank you, Gary Owen, for coming through. You can check his special, Black Famous, on Showtime.
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.